Hello and hi, welcome to another Slice of Sci-Fi. I'm Summer Brooks, and my guest today is a return guest, writer-director L. Callahan, who a couple of years ago we chatted about Headcount, and now we are here to talk about Witch Hunt, which is a compelling supernatural thriller and one that I was delighted by. Hello, L.
Hi, nice to be back.
So you are becoming in the habit of writing unusual thrillers that are really, really slow build up and then explode onto this this canvas of unexpected supernatural or horror delight. So thank you for keeping up that quality of content.
Yeah, I mean, it's what I love to do.
Awesome. So talk a little bit about Witch Hunt. What was the impetus for writing this and for designing this story in the way it unfolded?
Well, I think I've always wanted to tell a story that involved witches or witchcraft or, you know, women performing magic. And through my research into the history of it in our country and Europe, I was pretty shocked to learn how normal it was to accuse someone of being a witch. And, you know, being a witch hunter was actually a normal government job. And, as you know, this is, you know, hundreds of years ago, but it just fascinated me. It was all in their mind based on logic and fact. And so I thought, you know, if we took that and just dropped it into modern America, like what would that look like if we woke up tomorrow and all of a sudden women could do magic, how would the world respond? And so I think, and this story kind of came from that. I thought, you know, women, if you look historically, any woman that has power is persecuted. So I thought that's what would happen. And as I wrote, I think it kind of began to echo the world around me, and kind of bleed into my writing. And yeah, and then I added a bunch of spooks because that's what I do, and we kind of got Witch Hunt.
Yeah, the added touch of the I guess national legal foundation for oppressing women, because this magic is wild. They can't control it. We have to control them. I'm like, well, this story is the same, just wearing a different coat.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's when I was writing it, I think I was pretty frustrated with the world in general for women, the scene. The scene's getting better, but, you know, we still got a long way to go. And so I think it was kind of therapeutic for me to express that in a more fantastical, through a more fantastical lens. But, you know, the issues that they're dealing with in this movie are very similar to the issues that I felt that I have faced in my own life. So it was kind of, yeah, almost like cathartic.
And the twist that the government wants to contain all of the witches rather than letting them escape over the border into Mexico. I'm like, wow, that's very telling. And then just having Martha's family and her connection to the underground refugee pipeline, the underground railroad to get witches out of the country to safety. Was that an intentional setting to have her so isolated but close enough to the border to, you know, be helpful?
Yeah, I mean, I wanted to, originally I had set the film in the north and have them going, trying to escape into Canada. But, you know, with the way the world was and at the time when I was writing it, there was, you know, a lot of chat of, you know, putting up a border to our south. And I felt like that was kind of something just that was more present in my daily life. And at the time, you know, the news was just talking about keeping people from getting into our country, and that I was creating a world where you would want to get out. So it just felt fitting to set it there. And also, Martha, I think, feels that since she does have a personal connection to the women that she is helping to get out of this oppressive America, version of America, being close to the border in case, you know, her family needs to join them just seems like a smart move. She's, you know, she's a smart character. And I try to write my characters as smart as possible, like book characters. And so that just made sense for me. She's a woman that's very much in control. And that just felt like the right place to set our story.
I liked how Martha came across with a great deal of empathy and quiet mm-hmm. strength. And yeah, I talked to Elizabeth about that already. And when you were writing this, how did you envision her journey through this this particular trial?
Well, I mean, it's really, you know, it's really the story of a mother having to let go of her daughter for her own good. I think, you know, letting her daughter, I don't want to give too much away, mm-hmm. but, you know, become who she's meant to be. And Elizabeth brought this beautiful, soft strength to Martha that I think really worked well with the character. And I think Martha in general represents a lot of that kind of steadfast, you know, in control calmness that a lot of women have that I want to see more of on screen. And I think she kind of, her and Claire do mimic my own journey with my mother, because I moved across the country to, you know, make movies when I was 18, and that was hard for us, you know, but it was, you know, what was best for me. And I think Martha's journey of letting Claire go is a similar one.
Well, this movie is also beautifully shot. A lot of the panoramas, the getting the expanse of the land around Martha's house just sort of accentuates how isolated they are, not just physically, but also, mm-hmm. as we see from the town, philosophically as well. How long did it take you to scout out that location? Because that, like I said, that whole area there was gorgeous.
Yeah, it took a while for us to find kind of the perfect setting. And so much of the movie takes place around that house. But once we found it, it was like, all right, this is our entire world for the next month of filming here. This is, and the whole world pretty much of our film. I, as a filmmaker, I love wide open spaces. Maybe it's because I grew up in New England, where there's so many forests that you feel claustrophobic at some point. And then moving to California, where we have these kind of open deserts and meadows, I just love that. But it's also so scary, I think, especially at night, because, you know, you can see so far until the light drops off, and then you don't know what's looking back at you. You feel safe, but you're also so painfully aware of how alone you are. And so it's something that I try to bring to all my films. I just love that sense of isolation, and it creates a slow creep that kind of permeates into every other scene in the movie, because as close as they are in that house, you know that they're pretty alone out there. Mm-hmm. And yeah.
Well, I don't want to get too close to any spoilers, but the adventures of Claire and Fiona would seem to be an amazing follow up. Yeah,
I know. Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's a movie with an ending that's left up to your interpretation. I think the best stories that I have heard have invite you to bring your own imagination into it. So that's what I tried to do at the end. And it's also, it's a big world. So, you know, who knows what's next for our characters, wherever they may be or go.
I just, one other thing I love about this film is how it's sort of a counterpoint. There's a TV series on Freeform right now called Motherland Fort Salem, where the witches mm-hmm. are the soldiers.
mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I was like, oh, this is interesting. We're getting a lot of witches and a lot of, mm-hmm. you know, the storytelling is shifting away from zombies into witches and vampires again. And I'm like, oh, this is pretty interesting. I like this. Mm-hmm. so as a the special effects that you did, there were instances where people used magic. Some of it was subtle, some of it was very powerful. What
not so much.
what was your approach to doing those effects?
Well, I tried to do as much practical effects as possible. I think that's, you know, always more fun, but you know, we did a lot of kind of the normal things that witches do, but also I think in general, it's like our characters, especially Fiona and Shay, were never really taught how to control their powers because they grew up being told that their magic was bad. So you get that kind of repressed, uncontrolled outburst because you're not allowed to actually explore this talent that you have. And then you have like more subtle things that can be used for good when you're actually embracing them. So it's kind of like, I wanted to look at power as that they have as being like, it can be good or bad, but it's just like how you use it. And, you know, mm-hmm. I think it's the most beautiful when you use it for good, but you know, it's always up to the wielder. And that's where, you know, when fear leaks in, that's where you can get those kind of explosions because, you know, we fear what we don't understand, especially when only a certain group of people can wield it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I liked the subtle hint that the main reason for keeping the witches locked up and separated was so they couldn't pass on whatever they'd learned to the next generation to keep them... what was mm-hmm. the word, wild, so to speak, because any ability for them to consolidate their power, refine their power, and use it for the benefit of others threatens the structure, the institutionalized oppression that exists in that world. And, you know, you have to eliminate the threat as best you can. And what better way than keeping it uneducated?
Yeah, exactly. And I think, you know, it's a tactic of control to cut. Basically, they're just trying to cut the witches off from their culture
mm-hmm.
And keep them, you know, oppressed. And we've done that in many instances in history. So I felt like it fit in when I was telling the story. So that is why, you know, you get these echoes of Fiona and Shay's mother throughout the movie because it's, you know, it's their culture, it's their past, it's their heritage reaching back out to them mm-hmm. and trying to make that connection.
Yeah. So other than a way, way, way back burner follow-up story with Claire and Fiona, what are you working on next?
I am working on a new monster script. I found that through the last year, it was kind of hard for me to write a straight horror film because the world has been so but I found a lot of joy in kind of returning to my roots, and creating a new kind of fun monster. So I'm hoping that that's something that will see the light of day soon.
I do too, because I'm a huge fan of monster movies, so I will definitely be keeping an eye out on that one. Elle, where can people find you online to keep track of your projects?
I'm on mostly on Instagram. I don't have a Twitter because I think it's too wild to just say things in one line. So just my name, Elle Callahan. You can find me on Instagram, and I usually post updates for my movies there and spooky stuff that I find interesting.
Nice, nice. Well, we'll have links to that. The movie is Witch Hunt. It's out on October 1st from Momentum Films. And I think you'll enjoy it. I certainly did. So, Elle, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you for having me.
And we'll be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi right after this. Hi, and welcome back to more Slice of Sci-Fi. I'm Summer Brooks, and with me now is actor Elizabeth Mitchell, who is starring in a new indie suspense supernatural thriller called Witch Hunt, which, if I remember correctly, will be available October 1st on demand, on digital, and in some theaters from Momentum Pictures. And this movie is a treat in the slow burn buildup and the social commentary, which viewers are free to interpret as they see fit, but the overall through line is we are in a modern America where magic is real and witches are persecuted for being able to perform and wield magic. And it's basically a roundup and a literal witch hunt. Witches are hunted down, put into concentration camps, and hunted and killed by professional witch hunters. And Elizabeth plays a very compelling, very strong, brave character, Martha, who has gotten her family in a position to be able to help witches get across the border into Mexico, where they would ostensibly be safe, and she has, as we find out later, deeply personal reasons to be connected to this pipeline, and I can't wait to talk to her about it. Elizabeth, welcome.
Thank you, Summer. I'm so happy to be here. What a wonderful way to describe it. That was such a joy to listen to you.
Oh, thank you. The movie for me was such a joy to watch because when it first started, I wasn't sure where it was going. I'm like, how are they going to handle this? Which way are they going? And then it just built up into this lovely, multifaceted drama with people who are both conflicted and committed, and it got deeper as it went, and I just loved watching you infuse this quiet, relentless strength in this matriarch of this family. And we had no idea why. There was no direct connection until, surprise, whoops, there is a connection. And and there's just the quiet concern and certitude you played Martha with. Where was that something that was informed by the script? Was that just
Oh,
something
great question. Oh, I love that question. I think she was very much on the page. And I had a clear idea of what I wanted to do with her because I really saw her as such a hero. The people who do the right thing when no one is looking. To me, those are the heroes, right? The ones who go against all of the other norms and ways of society and go against the flow and simply do the right thing. And that's her. She does it again and again and again. And I found her bravery to be so touching. and her compassion, but also how scared she is. I loved that. I loved that it wasn't just some amazingly brave woman who's always brave and just does the right thing. I loved the fact that she was terrified, but still had to do the right thing, was compelled to continue to do the right thing. So knowing that, I felt like sometimes our biggest heroes are not the people who proclaim really loudly, "I'm a hero," but the people who quietly do the right thing. And that's how I saw her. So I think that my view of her kind of started that process. And then Elle liked that quite a bit. And she had some wonderful ideas. And we just came together with her. And I ended up really loving her. She's one of my favorite characters to date.
Now, how did you connect with Elle Callahan, who wrote and directed this, to actually get this role?
Isn't she? She's amazing. So it came to me come talk to Elle about this movie and see what you guys think of each other. I knew Gideon was involved, and I think Gideon's extraordinary. And I had this great conversation with Elle, where we talked a really long time, and I loved the way that she saw this show and the character and the way that she described things. And I loved her strength. I was captivated by her from just the minute we started talking, because she doesn't seem to have an ego. She's just this creative force. And there's this wonderful, strong, nurturing strength about her. So I knew the minute I started talking to her that I wanted to be involved.
Did she give you any insights into Martha that weren't in the script? How did you discuss portraying this?
What a great question. We came at it a lot together, and a lot of it was in the script. Her script is beautiful, but a lot of it too was, we had discussions about her, and then sometimes we had bats and we had all kinds of things happen in the movie. So sometimes we had to move scenes around, and complex big scenes would be moved up, you know, 5 days or whatever. And so sometimes we improvised quite a lot to find depth, to find these people and this world. And we did it all together. And then once we got it to a place we really liked it, we shot it. So there was a lot of collaboration. She's definitely the boss. And I mean that in the most wonderful of ways. She comes in, she commands respect in a very quiet and gentle and sure way. And she has a sure hand with what she does. I think she's going to be one of those ones to watch, right? but we found her through working together. We found her in her reactions to other people. And every day was a different exploration, and I would come in some days with something, and Elle would come in some days with others. And I think we found our way to a character that we were both really proud of.
Nice. Because the patience shown with the daughter, Claire's confusion, and with trying to help the refugees that come through the house, was there's just an appearance of such deep empathy.
Yeah.
And it turns out it was earned, because, you know, we're not going to give stuff away. You have to see it for yourself. But there's a reason for that connection, that empathy for what they're going through. And
there's a deep reason. Yeah, for sure.
That just the story of how these two refugee girls, two sisters, connect with, you know, Martha's daughter, Claire. And the doors that opens is just so. At first, it seems just heartwarming. And then you realize, oh no, there's another connection going on here. That's not gonna end well, is it?
Yeah. No.
You hope it does.
You're right that it's a slow burn. I love that you said that, because it really is. And it's complex in its kind of gorgeous simplicity. So there's layers upon layers, and the tone that Elle sets is so intriguing to me, that we were all working within, because when things explode. They really explode, you know, but the build is it's a little bit delicious. And I kind of find it to be achingly beautiful in some ways, which is an odd thing to say about this particular genre, but I think that this film is more than, and you know, than one thing, if that makes any sense.
Well, I also appreciated the ferocity when she had to actually face down the witch hunter detective.
Oh,
And
the mama bear is I'm a mom, right? So, but I mean, there's a lot of me in Martha. I'm a pretty patient person. I'm not really sure why, but I think I'm the oldest of a lot of girls, and I just found that really letting people be who they are, but try to help, you know, is usually my way. But I am also ferocious when it comes to protecting the people that I love, and I rarely get pushed to that place, but when I do, it always surprises me. And I think it probably surprised Martha. I don't know that she ever saw herself as being someone capable of doing what she's doing. But then she found herself in that position and she continued to choose the right path, you know, to be on the right side of things, at great personal cost. And I love that. I love that about her.
So for you, what was the most fun in shooting this role, in you know, embodying this role?
I mean, I love the back and forth with our hunter, of course, and I loved it with the girls. I had so much fun with them. I just found them to be delightful. I had a great time in that scene with the neighbor because I felt that that was a great example of Martha. That was a great example of that crazy line that she has to walk on, that tightrope that she's walking on. There's this anxious fear behind it, and then this smiling face of everything's going to be fine. I don't know if you've ever seen A Wrinkle in Time or read A Wrinkle in Time, but it reminded me of the book with when all the balls are bouncing and they all have to be within the rhythm, right? Because of it. And it reminded me, so that scene reminded me of that. Like she is there with the neighbor bouncing the ball. Everything is in rhythm. Everything is the way that it's supposed to be on the surface. And behind her back, she's terrified and she is just covering and dancing as fast as she can. And I quite love that scene.
Yeah, that scene with the neighbor was so hilarious because she's doing this dance on a tightrope between crazy and nothing to see over here.
To see over here. You and I are the same. No, really, we're the same. You're a duck, I'm a duck too.
The matching, the pattern matching attempts at the attitude and the vocabulary. I'm like, wow, this in another lifetime, in another world, that's a pro grifter right there.
Yeah, it was really a fun scene, and I didn't know it was going to be as fun as it was, but when I was done with it, I was like, oh, okay, that was delightful. That's the kind of one you wish was on stage because you'd get a chance to do it again and again.
Now, did you get a chance to interact with any of the special effects, the magic? Because I don't, now that I think
Not
about it, I don't
really.
think there were any.
I mean, they all kind of came and I mean, when Gideon was on the roof and about to jump, when Claire was on the roof, we had, you know, our stunties, and then a lot of that was something that was imagined. And then the burning women, I of course got to see because we were working in such a short amount of time and all closely together, and I thought that looked really extraordinary. But the rest was added after, and I had Elle's a description of what it was, and that was actually really fun, but watching it after was even better because I'm like, oh, that's what you meant. But a lot of what we did was practical, you know, a lot of things that we were doing were all practical magic, I guess you would say. It's fun.
Cool. So if it happened that L managed to find a compelling line to write a sequel, would you be down for it?
Oh, anything she wants to do, I'll come do with her. I think she's extraordinary. She is so talented and so strong and so kind all at the same time. And I find that to be incredibly rare. There are a lot of kind people who aren't strong, right? And a lot of strong people who aren't kind. And to find someone who is strong and kind and talented and creative, I'm not sure you really get better than that.
Well, I am encouraging people to go see Witch Hunt when it is
Yay.
available. What are you working on anything else right now?
Well, I just finished up First Kill for Netflix, and then Outer Banks is out now. And there's another really lovely movie called When Time Got Louder that should be coming out soon. So it's been a really interesting, I guess, year and a half. And creatively, it's been fun for me. The rest of it's been pretty hard, but the creative part, good stuff.
Awesome. Now, is there any place online people can track what you are up to next?
Oh yeah, I do sometimes post on Instagram. That's the only one that I do. Elizabeth.mitchell.official, I think. And you'll know it's me because it's goofy and irreverent and all of those things. But I am on there every once in a while, and I absolutely do let people know most things. I try to anyway. They're usually couched in some sort of comment about the world, but but I do let people know things there.
Cool. Now I have to ask because, most of my audience is science fiction. Do you have any really cool shots of you on The Expanse on your Instagram?
Gosh, I don't. And you know what? I should. I do have some. I took some. It's so hard when you go into someone else's world because they've been working together for so long. I hate to ask for pictures or to do anything, but you know, I bet I do have some pictures of her. I liked her so much. She was also another one of my favorite characters. What a cool woman. What an interesting character. All right, I'm gonna look. I love that you asked.
Well, I definitely want to see more, because behind the scenes for that show for me is just crazy. I just
Crazy.
absolutely crazy.
Agreed.
I think Amos is an amazingly complex character,
Well,
and
he's my favorite. I love him so much.
who doesn't love Wes, right?
I know he is, and he's also just the loveliest person, but interacting with him and acting with him, working with him, I found him to be incredible. I loved it. The minute I would look into his eyes, I was like, oh, there we are. He's so good. Yeah.
Well, if you post any up on Instagram, I will definitely tell people to go check them out because, like I said,
Awesome.
I love that show. A lot of my audience loves that show, and
Good.
I'm encouraging them to go check out Witch Hunt.
I'm
And
glad. There's a really cool fan site called the Elizabeth Mitchell Fan Club, and the woman who runs it, Audrey, is one of the gifts of the world, right? And she and she probably has some pretty good Expanse stuff. I'll have to check in with her. But there's another fun source.
okay, we will put a link up to that and to your Instagram.
Okay.
Elizabeth, thank you so much
Are
for
you kidding?
sharing.
Thank you. I had such a wonderful time talking to you. Your voice, I could listen to it all day. It's so nice.
Oh, thank you.
And take care of yourself and be well.
You too. And we'll be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi right after this.
Escape Pod is your destination for the best in modern short science fiction. Our intrepid crew of editors and hosts will bring you fun, thought-provoking in-flight entertainment every week as the pod careens around the multiverse. In the mood for a classic? We've got Anson Mount, also known as Captain Christopher Pike, reading Theodore Sturgeon. Want something a little more up-to-date? Jennifer R. Donahue's Surveillance Fatigue has you covered. In every sense. From classic space opera to intimate character drama. From heroic alien pets waiting for their families to herds of Einsteins and the benevolent conspiracy they're hatching, Escape Pod has it all. Take a ride with us at escapepod.org and buckle up because it's story time.
Hey guys, this is Arjun Gupta from Sci-Fi's The Magician. You are listening to Slice of Sci-Fi.
once again, the movie is Witch Hunt. It should be available now on digital and on demand. And it's from Momentum Pictures, and it's considered more of a thriller drama than horror, but still, it is a very slow burn and thoughtful film. And if I remember correctly, Elle had also done a segment in the Tales of Halloween anthology that came out a few years ago, which I absolutely adore. Seriously, if you haven't seen Tales of Halloween, go check it out. You'll like it. So, are you planning on seeing Witch Hunt? If you've already seen Witch Hunt, let me know what you thought of it. Send me an email. summer@sliceofscifi.com. Or come on by the website, sliceofscifi.com. Leave a comment in the post with this episode. Or reach out on Twitter, @sliceofscifi. Start up a conversation. Because that's what geeks do. We watch TV shows and movies and read comic books that are in our wheelhouse, and we want to talk about them. You can listen to Slice of Sci-Fi on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, TuneIn, Player FM, and iHeartRadio Podcasts. And if you're listening on Apple or Stitcher, please consider leaving us a review. All of those ratings, reviews, feedback, they help raise the show's profile, gets the show in front of other potential listeners. So let's hear it for signal boosting. And you can also leave a review over on Podchaser. All of the podcasts are interconnected in many ways. So if you could, give us a boost. I'd like to thank everyone who is currently helping to support all of the shows in the Slice of Sci-Fi universe, including Slice of Sci-Fi, The Babylon Podcast, Writers After Dark, Charlie Jade, and yes, I specifically mentioned Babylon Podcast because of the news that we are going to get more Babylon 5 on the CW, and JMS himself is writing the pilot. So a miracle has happened. We're going to get more Babylon 5 on television. The world is slightly brighter. There's more joy in the air. The sun is shining brightly, fending off that potential early winter. It's glorious, I tell you. More Babylon 5 in this world? It's glorious. But if you want to help support future episodes of Slice of Sci-Fi and Babylon Podcast, the place to do that is Patreon, patreon.com/sliceofscifi. Pick a tier, any tier, and your support could get you swag, goodies, free stuff. I get a lot of materials here, DVDs, Blu-rays, 4Ks, books, graphic novels, and I can't keep all of it. I don't have the space to keep all of it, so the supporters, fans, and friends of this show get first dibs on the good stuff. I have a list of movies and TV shows. I have a list of books and graphic novels. And every month I pick a winner, a winning email, and that person gets to choose from one of those lists, something that catches their eye. And that's my thank you to all of you for helping me keep all of this going. You can also contribute to the donation pool through PayPal by donating every now and then, if that's more to your liking. PayPal.me/sci-fi summer. And we have a brand new coffee page, ko-fi.com/sliceofscifi. You can donate over there. And I'm trying to synchronize the coffee people with the Patreon people so we get everybody involved in the perks program. So hopefully I'll have some good news on that front soonish. But that'll do it for this episode. Thank you all for listening. And we will be back with more Slices Sci-Fi next week. Take care.